All right, well, we started a series last week called God's Great Mercy for Healing in Healing. I check with my audio person here what we put on the website. We're gonna go over some of the things we went over last week and fill in a few things, but hit some of the same things, but maybe go a little bit more. So why don't we turn over to Psalm 145? Start. Psalm 145, verse 8. Anybody there? Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Amen. He's gracious. He is full of grace, full of mercy. He's a good God. You know, if anybody had a right to look down on us, it would be him, because he's perfect. He doesn't just think he's perfect, like some people. He is perfect. Perfect. Not even just a little bit of a flaw in him. There's nothing he has to work on. He's not fading. He's not getting worse in his old age. He's not getting grumpy. He's perfect. And he's the most magnificent being in the universe. And so if anybody had a right to look, you know, kind of thumb their noses at us, it would be him, but he doesn't do that. The Bible says he's gracious and he's full of mercy. You know, you can't be gracious to somebody that thinks they deserve it. If somebody thinks that they deserve everything you're doing, you can't be gracious to them. You can try, but they just think, well, you should be like that. But some people are like that with God. We ought not to be like that with God. He is so merciful and gracious. He looks at us and he wants the best for us. Even if we've messed up over and over and had the worst week of our lives, he still looks at us and he's rooting for us. He never acts in a way that is against us. Ever. Never. He never wants to, I should say that. He will uphold justice. But he doesn't want to. I mean, he wants to uphold justice. He doesn't want people to get in the way of that. It doesn't please him when people get judged for things. That doesn't please him. He's merciful. The Bible says, he is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing. When somebody perishes, no matter what area it's in, it doesn't please him. He's not happy about it. He's not like looking forward to letting somebody have it. We do that sometimes. You know, we're like, yeah, you're going to get what's coming to you, right? Oh, if I only could do such and such to this person, they ought to. That's the way we think, but that's not the way he thinks. He's just full of compassion and full of mercy. That's his character, and we're his children. And so we should want to be like him. Just merciful, gracious. And we get a handle, the more we get a handle on how merciful and gracious we are, if we understand that, we'll be more merciful. Because we'll realize how much mercy is coming our way. You know, it's like the parable in the Bible about the guy that, you know, got forgiven of a huge debt. And then he goes out and takes a guy that owes a few bucks and lets him have it. Doesn't show mercy at all to him. But we don't want to be like that. But the more we understand what God has done for us, you don't even have to try. If we'll just, we realize how he's done so much for us, and he is so gracious and he's so merciful. When you think somebody is on you trying to, you know, just wait for you to mess up and looking at you thinking, you know, just watching you, fault finding, that doesn't make you at ease. That doesn't make you relax. That makes you tense, and it makes you grumpy. You know? If you're getting beat up at work, it's easy to come and beat those people up at home, or beat up the cat or the dog or whatever pet you have, or, you know, take it out on them, right? But when you know, when you're shown mercy and grace, it's so easy to be gracious to people, isn't it? Well, whether we know it or not, God is showing us mercy and grace. Whether we're conscious of it, he is, every day. And we can, the more conscious of this we become, the easier it is to just walk in love with people. You don't, see, when we're really trying to walk in love with people, I'll put up with you. We don't understand how much we're being put up with. How much God, in his infinite, his perfection, his infinite wisdom, he's forbearing. He's just patient with us. How many would say, you know he's been patient with you?
Oh.
He's patient. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's so good. He's a good God. He's not mean. And he's not waiting for people to fail. He's not waiting. He's not going, oh gosh, there you go again. I'm not saying it pleases him when we mess up. It doesn't please him. But, so he doesn't wink at wrongdoing. He's not a softy like that. But he is merciful. He understands what we're made of, and he understands who we are. That's not an excuse. It doesn't mean that we should just go out and live however, but he's not waiting for us to fail. He's not looking at us with an eye that says, you know, would you just get your act together already? It pleases him the more we do the word, but he understands where we're coming from, and he has compassion and mercy. And if we'll look to him, he's the way we're going to get to the next step, whatever that next step is. He has the wisdom. His word is truth. His word is light. So if we're looking and say, you know, I just keep bumping up against this place in my life. I just don't see how to get past it. Well, he knows how to get past it. And the more we're just conscious of the fact that, you know, if we just keep getting up, even if we fall, we get back up and look to him, he's there to help us and help us go along. He's merciful and gracious. He will help us. It's when we become discouraged and shut down and start going the other way, that's when we shut him off. The condemnation that comes is not from him. It's from our own heart. The Bible says in 1 John, it said, if your heart does not condemn you, you have faith toward God. It's our heart that condemns you. Now, condemns us, but the devil will help you. If we don't understand the word, he'll come in and he'll beat us up with things, and then he'll tell you it's God. But that's not God. God will convict you, which is different. He'll tell you, you got to change this, pal. This needs to be changed, but he won't condemn you. Condemning is saying you're unfit for use. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never get past it. See, that's not God's voice. God just doesn't do that. Now, he'll say, son, daughter, you need to change this, and I'll help you change it. It's always positive. It's always encouraging. He's not a downer. He's not a Debbie Downer, like my kids say. He's not like the, you know, party pooper. That's not God. It's just not him. If you hear that, it's this easy, really. See, the devil's subtle. He's a liar. But it really is this easy. If you hear, if you sense a condemnation, like you've messed up again, you're not going to get there, anything discouragement, anything that's discouraging, that's defeatist, that's down, that's not God. Think about it. When would God come into the room and be like, man, this day stinks. Look at the weather. And one, he'd change the weather if he wanted it different. But when is he like, I can't believe it. Running the universe just gets so tiring. God. Huh? He's not that way. He is positive. Jesus was not negative. Jesus did not walk around just so solemn and just like, man, it's just Son of God stuff. Oh, what do you guys want to do today? I don't know. I don't know. Just don't feel like it. He wasn't like, come on, it's tough carrying the weight of the world. That's not Jesus. And God is not, he's not negative. He's not hard. So when we're tempted to be hard, it's not God. It's probably our flesh. Because our flesh is real quick to get impatient with other people's flesh. So we want mercy, but we want justice for other people. Huh? Because you know what you meant to do. The other person, they were doing exactly what they meant to do. It's funny how we judge other people by what they do and we judge ourselves by our intention. Well, I didn't mean to do it, but that person, they did it and they meant to do it. Well, no, maybe they just were like you and they didn't mean to do it and it just happened. But anyway, God is a merciful and gracious and good God. Amen. So much of what we get pushed on, that pushes on us, that if you've had a religious upbringing or any just you have to be careful no matter what kind of upbringing you've had, the devil's going to try to drive a wedge between us and God. And so if you miss it, he's the one that's quick to condemn and then to try to make you feel like that is God getting on your case, which makes you want to back away from God, who is your help. And so if you back away from him, the enemy knows you're weaker and you can be taken out. So this is his strategy. So he tries to plant seeds from the earliest age, trying to make you feel condemned, trying to make you feel not adequate, and to try to associate those feelings with God. There are people that will not set foot in a church because they grew up a certain way and they feel bad. They associate feeling guilty and bad with church and therefore with God, and they don't want to have anything to do with church and they don't want to have anything to do with God because all they feel is guilt. I mean, I've read, you know, people's accounts that are famous that are saying all religion did is just bring guilt and shame, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm free from that junk. And what they don't realize is they are away from God, and God was never like that in the first place. That's not God. That was the enemy lying to them, telling them it's God doing this when actually it was religion and a misrepresentation of God and people's flesh that was beating them down and people's, you know, anger rather than a representation of God. And so now people are associating with that with God and are running away from him, which is exactly what the enemy wants. Because they're lost unless they make a change. The devil doesn't care. He didn't care how he gets to you. He just wants you dead. And he wants you away from him. He's ruthless. He is merciless. He will. You see the types of stuff that happen in the world? He does not care if it's a child. He doesn't care, you know, if the person's helpless. He doesn't care. He just wants destruction and death. He's evil. But that's not God. God's good. He's good. And he's full of compassion. Didn't just say he's a little bit compassionate. Just it says he's gracious and full of compassion. It says he's slow to anger and great in mercy. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. So he's slow to anger. So he's not quick-tempered. He doesn't fly off the handle. He's not touchy. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. Notice that. He's good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You know, we have that verse on our website. And that's where we got that we have that sharing the goodness of God. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his work. He's a good God. Most people don't know that he's a good God. Most people don't know what he's done for them through Jesus. There is no representation that's greater than what Jesus did for us. He is a good God. So this scripture reveals the character of God as much as any scripture. He's full of compassion. To be full of compassion, the dictionary says, is to be merciful. So compassion and mercy are companion terms, we could say. They're very closely related. To be merciful is to be full of compassion. And if you look up the words that are translated in the Greek and Hebrew for mercy and compassion, a lot of times they're translated one time mercy and they're translated one time compassion. So they're very close terms. To have mercy means to be full of compassion. So God is full of compassion. He is of great mercy, and his tender mercies are over all his works, all of them. Even the people that are doing very evil things, God loves them. And God doesn't want them destroyed. It does not please him when they're destroyed. Now, he will hold them to justice. And there's nothing. So people take it, you know, go in wrong directions, and they don't think, well, then we don't punish any evil. That's not true. That's not God. That's not the same as wanting that to happen. So we're going to look, you know, we started last week just looking at mercy in connection with healing, because usually we think of mercy, like we've been saying, we think of mercy in connection with the Lord having mercy, like on the unsaved, and saving him. That's the way we think of it a lot of times, is the mercy on the unsaved. But the Bible also connects it to healing. So go ahead and turn over to Mark 1. So Jesus, go ahead and turn over to Mark 1:40. Jesus, like we've stated, is the will of God in action. Jesus is the will of God in action. So if we look at Jesus and what he does, we can see what the will of God is. Jesus displayed the will of God while he walked the earth. In other words, he did not do anything that was not the will of God. He didn't do anything that was counter to the will of God. He was a man. He was 100% man, 100% God, but he walked this earth as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. And what he did was always led by the Spirit, always in line by the Spirit. He didn't do everything he did just in a power that was just because he was God. He did it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Mark 1, verse 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." So notice verse 41, it says Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand. So Jesus was moved with compassion to heal the leper. Healing is a display of God's compassion. See, God, Jesus was moved with compassion, and he did what? He healed. And there was a display of his compassion. He didn't say, "I forgive your sin." He healed him. So let's turn over to Matthew 14, another example here. Matthew 14, everybody there? Matthew 14, verse 13, it says, when Jesus, am I in the right place? Yeah, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. So what did compassion move him to do in verse 14? It says he healed their sick. So this connection has been hidden somewhat because people have thought Jesus just went about, he did these things because he's God. And he's just God, so he's proving himself. Well, number one, if he was just doing it to prove himself, then in his hometown, when he went, it says he could do no mighty work there. Well, if he was just doing it to prove himself, he could have just done it anyway. Why did it stop him? It said he couldn't do it because they didn't believe. So he wasn't healing to prove who he was. Only he was moved out of compassion in these areas. He was doing it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, not as just God Almighty that could turn it on and off. He was subject to the same laws. He had to flow with the Spirit of God, and he was limited by people's faith. Now, if that's a new concept to you, we have other messages that touch on that, but I'm not going to take time to go into that now. But God is limited in what he can do in our lives by our faith. But Jesus here, moved with compassion, and he healed their sick. And God never changes. So if he was compassionate then he's compassionate now. If he was full of compassion then, he's full of compassion now. If he was gracious then, he's gracious now. He's the same compassionate Lord today. And Jesus is the will of God in action. So what he was doing here is the same thing that he would do now. And it's the same thing he's doing as he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now let's look, we did look at these last time. I realize that we have some folks with us and we're going to go further. But go over to Matthew 20. Doesn't hurt for us to look at some of these things again. Matthew 20, verse 29. Praise the Lord Jesus. Matthew 20, verse 29, everybody there? It says, now they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So these two blind men cried out for Jesus to have mercy on them, but they didn't ask for their sins to be forgiven. So that's the way we usually think of mercy, as a connection with our sins. But here, that's not what is being displayed. God, of course, has mercy on the sinner. But question, is he any less merciful for somebody that's sick? In other words, he has the power to heal. And somebody is suffering, having compassion and mercy on them, would he let somebody stay? No, the answer is he has moved through Jesus. His compassion, the way he was moving toward these people when he walked the earth out of compassion. Well, God sent Jesus to the earth and to die on the cross out of his compassion for us. And part of his sacrifice was healing for the body. He's the same compassionate God now. Some people have the thought that somehow God is withholding healing from them. Well, no, he's merciful. He's not withholding any good thing from any of his children. We need to renew our minds to realize how good he is, and that healing is a mercy that he is holding out to us. And he has compassion on us just like these people. When these two men asked to they said, we want to receive our sight, they were asking for mercy. They were asking, they said, God, have mercy on us. He asked, what would I do for you? And he said that we would receive our sight. God, healing is a mercy. Because it says Jesus had compassion and he touched their eyes and immediately they received sight and they followed him. So the two blind men asked for mercy of having their eyes open, and Jesus granted the mercy of healing, proving that healing is a mercy, just as forgiveness is a mercy. Amen. Healing is a mercy of Almighty God. And we read that He is full of compassion. He's great in mercy. Well, one of the mercies is healing. He gives, He heals. We read in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, you can turn there really quick. 2 Corinthians 1:3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. It says here that He is the Father of mercies. Mercy isn't just something that God has or that He shows. It's part of His nature. He is the Father of mercies. He's not waiting for us to do something incorrect. He's not waiting for us to mess up. He's not waiting to punish us. He is, on the contrary, He's looking for an opportunity to help us. Notice that mercies is plural there. Now turn, let's see. This is where I wanted to get to. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We read this about the man with the unclean spirit last time. We're not going to take the time to read the whole thing, but this is where the man was roaming around and had unclean spirit, and Jesus cast out the spirit. And they went into the swine and they all drowned. But verse 19 after this, it says, however, Jesus did not permit him. So in verse 18 it says, when he had gotten to the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, look at what he said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. Notice what he said. Go home and tell your friends, or to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. So it says that he did these things for him because He had compassion on him. In other words, He healed him. He cast that demon out, those demons out of him, and healed him because He was moved with compassion. He had compassion on him. He's saying, this is what I've done for you because I had compassion on you. We know compassion is mercy. And we know that this man did what Jesus told him to do. Mark 5:20 says, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So he went about What did Jesus tell him? He said, go and tell everybody what I've done for you, how I've had compassion on you. And this man went and did what Jesus told him to do. He went and told everybody about the Lord's compassion. He went about and told him how merciful God had been to him and the good things he did for him. Now, how do we know he did that? I want you to, if you bear with me just a minute, I'll show you verse, stay in Mark. Go to Mark 7 and hold your place there, and then go to Matthew 15, verse 30. So Mark 7, no, actually go to Matthew 15, you know, hold your place in the Mark 7, but look at Matthew 15, verse 30. It says, then great multitudes came to him, Jesus, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So this account, like, this happened because that man went and told all the people about what Jesus had done for him. Look at verse 29. Or actually, we're not going to look at verse 29 right now. So you'd have to look at this, and if you compare these two verses of Scripture, then you can see this. But if you, so hold your finger in Matthew 15. Go look at Mark 7, verse 31. It says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Now, Decapolis is where the man went out. If you look back in Mark 5, just flip back a couple chapters. I don't want to keep you here, but we'd maybe give this. Maybe we'll pick it up. Who can't come next Wednesday? We don't have youth next Wednesday, right? Okay, so you guys can come back. So Matthew or Mark 5, verse 20, after he healed the man, it says, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, all marveled. And what did Jesus tell him to say? The Lord has done, what all the great things the Lord has done for you, how he has had compassion on you. And so the man went about and began to proclaim. Do you think he did what Jesus told him to do? Jesus said, go and tell people how I had compassion on you, how I was merciful to you, what I did for you. Well, he went out in Decapolis and told them all that he had done for them. So if you skip over to verse to Mark 7, now look at the this account right before this in Mark 7, verse 24 through 30. That's where the woman comes and is asking about her daughter who has an unclean spirit. And so this is where, look at verse 27. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs on the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out from your daughter. When she has come to her house, or when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Verse 31, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. So he's coming back through the region that the man, that guy healed, that got free from the demon, that's where he was proclaiming what Jesus did. So here, in verse 32, it says, they brought to him one who was deaf, who had an impediment in his speech, and he deals with that man. But if you can, you can hold your finger in these places, but then go back over to Matthew 15. So Matthew 15, this is a parallel account of what we just read in Mark. So if you look at verse 21, this is that same woman that was coming to Jesus about her daughter. It says, Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. So if you skip down to verse 28, and this is, well, verse 26 says, but he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it unto little dogs. This is the same account. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went down up on the mountain and sat down there. That's right after this account. It's the same as if you went back over to Mark 7, it says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis. So right after he was with that woman, it says he went to Decapolis. So this Matthew, it doesn't mention Decapolis, but look what it does say. Verse 29, he departed from there, where he just was, and then he skirted the Sea of Galilee and went down to the mountain and sat down there. So this is in the same place. Verse 30, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. The reason I'm telling you this is, why did all those people come laying all these people down in front of Jesus? Because this guy that got delivered went and told everybody about the compassion of Jesus, told them all he did for them, told them about the mercy, and all these people heard that, and they came and brought everybody they knew that was sick, and there was mass healings. See, when people hear about the compassion of God and what he'll do, this is how things happen. Because of this man's testimony is why these people were healed. And Jesus is the same today. This is what we need to understand about God. Some people say, well, you know, healing isn't for today. Well, let me ask you a question. Is compassion for today? Nobody would say that it wasn't. Of course it is. So healing, because we've been reading about healing in relation to compassion. We've seen the words are together. Compassion and mercy, they're consistently mentioned in relation to healing. So healing is for us today. And healing is one of God's mercies. If we can simply switch our thinking to think that God's healing is one of God's tender mercies right away, our thinking will be changed and we'll be in a different place. Healing is simply God being, is another way he's showing his mercy. And the Bible says he's full of compassion and great mercy. So if we'll begin to think, God is merciful toward me. God wants me to be healed. He wants good things for me. He is full of compassion. It's one of his mercies. Skipping ahead, this is a statement I'm going to say in a future one, but I'll say it now to close this one up. God wants us to be healed more than we want to be healed. He is full of compassion. He is full of mercy. It is not that we have to twist his arm to get him to do that. He's full of it, and he yearns for us to be well more than we yearn for ourselves, ourselves. He's full of compassion, and he is that way today, just like he was in these accounts we read. Amen. Lord, we just thank you so much for your healing mercy. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you, Lord, that you yearn for us to be well. Lord, it is your will that we be well and whole in every way. Lord, it's not something that we have to pull out of you, but we just have to receive your goodness. Receive what you want to do already. We're not convincing you to do anything. We're just receiving from you. Hallelujah. Yeah, just let that flow. Somebody just getting it. Just that is the truth. He just wants you to be healed more than you want it. Just yield to it. Just yield to him. Just let him do what he already wants to do. Hallelujah.